Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Today I want to start a series, and over the next 2 weeks I'm going to talk on triumphing in trials. I got one exciting for that. Triumphing in trials. Come on. For all of us, we're either in the midst of a trial right now, we're coming out of a trial, or we're probably getting ready to go into a trial. And so in our life, even as believers, we go through difficult situations. We face circumstances. And we need to understand, what is God wanting to work in us? What's the process and how to get out of the trial? Sometimes we call it the wilderness experience, but we don't want to die in the wilderness. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. It took 3 days, a three-day journey to get to the promised land, but they kept going around in circles. And we don't want to be those kind of people. We want to be those that move forward into what God has for us. Amen? And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 23 and verse 1, the Bible says this: the Lord is my shepherd. Someone say that together. Let's one, ready. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd. I love how David says this in the midst of the circumstance. He says, God is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? This week I took the HGen Connect group, Adam and Lace. Lace just gave birth, and so they're taking some time just to bond with the baby. And so we came in, and I began to talk to the young people about God being their shepherd. And it's a simple principle. We all know the Lord is my shepherd. There's songs about God being our shepherd. But what does it mean when he's our shepherd? It means that we give him control of our life. It means that we're willing to follow him. We're willing to trust him. But sometimes we don't allow God to be the shepherd in our life. We're not allowing God to lead us and guide us. We allow him in certain areas, but God, don't leave me in my finances. God, don't leave me in my relationship. Come on. Even Abraham, tried to help God out a little bit. So what do you try to help? Let's help God out. We're singles and looking for that right person. So what do we do? Let's go to christianmingles.com. Help the Lord out a little bit, because we don't see the Ruth in the house. Come on. Or maybe we're the Ruth and we don't see our Boaz. Oh, it got real quiet here. Come on. And so we're trying to get a place, rather than allowing God to order our steps. The Bible said the steps of the righteous, if you're saved, you're righteous. They're ordered by the Lord. And this speaks of allowing God to be our shepherd. I'm not against any of those online things, but it can add a lot of destruction. We can open ourselves up to a lot of bad things too. Come on, everybody looks good online. Come on, we all touched up, amen? You ever seen somebody online, you're like, wow, what did they do, man? They look amazing. Then you meet them in person and they don't even look like the same person. It's called Photoshop, come on. And so we can go through the place where what's online is not the reality. And what I'm saying, we get into things of trying to strive to make things happen. We can do it on our business. We can do it in our relationship, in our family, with our kids. Sometimes parents, we're so concerned about our kids. God had to tell me one time, God loves my kids more than I do. Come on. And sometimes we don't believe that. We love our kids a lot. I mean, any parent loves their kids. They want the most for their kids. I want the most for my spiritual children. I want the most for my biological children. But God wants more than we can. Far above what we can think or imagine as a parent, God is thinking and imagining. And so we've got to understand God is our shepherd. And what does he say? David says, because of that, I can trust him. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So God is interested in bringing us into a place of blessing. God is interested in prospering us far above what we can think or imagine. But then the verse turns a little bit negative. It says he restores my soul. Well, if I'm just by the rivers and the green pasture, what do I need a soul to be restored for? What does David say? He's focusing on who God is and the destination, but in the midst of the journey, come on, we need some restoration sometimes. Because we get, why does the Bible say don't grow weary in well doing, because we get weary. We get weary sometimes in business. We get weary in relationship. We get weary in ministry. We get weary with all that's happening in the world, and we see another shooting and the tragedy that took place this week, you know, and all the nonsense that goes on and how they've tried to politicize it. It wears you out. And things that we go through. So what does he say? That God, because he's our shepherd, he restores our soul. That he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we get off and we get distracted in the journey of life, that God will lead us back into the place of right standing with him. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Nobody wants to walk through the valley. But in life, we're going to have valleys. In life, we're going to have trials. In life, bad things happen to good people. In life, even though you're a believer, you're saved, you're the head and not the tail, the Bible says you're first and not last, you still go through COVID. But you made it. Come on. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, you made it. Come on. You still go through recession. We still experience inflation. My gas price is the same gas price as an unchurched person. Come on. Hello. The grocery store is the same. We still live in this world. And so sometimes we need to understand that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we still have loved ones that die. We still experience tragedy. There's Christians that died in 9/11. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say? I'm going to fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yeah. And so we need to understand that going through life, we live in a broken down world. If you haven't realized it, the world's getting darker. Stuff that I grew up in, you know, we had to experience in schools. And you know, when I was in schools in the 80s and 90s and in uni, it's a different world now. The things that kids, that we didn't have to think of that. The stuff that we had of getting shot on your way to school or what's going on or the, you know, the drug situation and how things are. And, you know, at that time, you know, if you had girls, you had to watch out for the guys. But now the guys also got to watch out for the girls. Come on. We live in a different world. Some of you are like. But we need to understand that as we go through life, God is with us. What's the difference in being a Christian and being an unchurched person or an unbeliever? It's that God is with us. He's our shepherd. We're not alone in the midst of the circumstances. God doesn't fall off his throne because of what happens. He doesn't fall off his throne because who got elected president. He doesn't fall off his throne because of COVID. He says in the last days, there'll be rumors of wars, and we're seeing that. Why are we surprised? It's going to continue. We don't pray for that. We pray for peace, but we live in a broken down world. Demons are prevalent, but you look at stuff that happened. How do we understand how this stuff could go on? It's demonic. That's the only way to say it. It doesn't make sense. We live in a world where there's, the Bible talks about pestilence and diseases are there. We've had COVID and we get through COVID and, you know, numbers are up again, they say, but at least we get back to some semblance of life. Come on. And know that, hey, if you've been vaccinated or, you know, even if you get COVID, you're going to probably have a fever in 3 or 4 days. You're going to be all right. And we see that. But then now we have the monkey virus, you know. And now there's a monkey virus. People getting bled and all this stuff's coming out. And there's another one of the countries this, you know, week said they're locking down again. It's like, oh, my gosh, we just got through this. Now we got to deal with the monkey. I don't know where they get these names, but hey. But this is the world that we live in. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before the coming of the Lord. But what does the Bible say? David said that he restores our soul. That in the midst of these things, he leads us in the paths of righteousness, that you can still prosper. Isaac sowed in a land of famine and reaped 100-fold. Pastor Susan was sharing, in the midst of downturn, people said, you can still prosper. Because God will bless us as we honor God. There's no recession in God's economy. Somebody's making money in the downturn. Come on, it's just whether you're long or short. Should I be long or short? Don't ask me. Ask the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But when it's being positioned correctly. During the Great Recession, people lost many things. It was a terrible time, but there's people that still made money. Rockefeller made money and built the Rockefeller Center in the midst of the downturn. But be positioned on the right side, because if God's our shepherd, he's going to lead us into green pastures. There can be brown pastures all around us, but God will bring us into the place of blessing. Do you believe that? But we're going to experience downturn. We're going to experience life in this broken down world. There are rainy days and thunderstorms that are going to happen. You know, California, we don't like rain. We've had, I was talking to someone who visited us, you know, from Northern California. They're like, it's really cold down here. I was thinking, it's cold down here? I said, oh, you've been here the last few days because we've had clouds. Yeah. We don't normally get clouds. You know, it's been looking like it's going to rain, but it doesn't rain. You know, some of people are watching online. You couldn't even get out of bed this morning because you didn't see the sunshine. But we get affected because, well, we live in a place, life's a beach, and we have all this. It's always beautiful here. We take that for granted. Come on, go to Boston where it's freezing. Well, you can't even get out of your house. You got a shovel to get to your car. Susan was in Amsterdam for business and ministry, and, you know, it's the sun is up most of the day. You only have 4 hours of darkness. But it's opposite. In the winter, you only have 4 hours of sunlight because you're up in that northern hemisphere there. And people live in constant darkness. People get depressed. They have to have a certain type of light in their house so they don't get depressed because they need the vitamin D. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God you live in California. Come on. But we can get so used to the cookie cutter perfect world that when anything happens, it rains on our storm. This morning, I was on the way to church, rushing for church. And the Starbucks app was down. Come on, did anybody else experience that? On a Sunday morning. And so I had to go into the Starbucks. And I really got there. I'm like, there's a sign on the door. We're so sorry the app's down. I'm thinking, on a Sunday morning, really? And the Lord had to remind me, remember your message last week about joy? So I went in and went into the rat race, and these poor little teenagers were there trying to overwhelm by the line because, you know, most people use the app nowadays. And, you know, praise God if you like something else. I'm not promoting Starbucks, but it's close to my house. Come on. And I'm there. And when I went in, there was a young teenager in front of me that went to buy his coffee, and his card was declined. And he was so embarrassed. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Let me go outside. And I said, hey, don't worry about it. I'll buy you a coffee. And I also wanted him to hurry up. So I put my app there, bought him a $4 coffee, and he's like, oh, it's okay, man. Can I have your Venmo? I'll pay you back. I'm like, that's $4, man. God bless you. And he got very shocked. But what happened? If I'd been on the app, if I hadn't been there, I might not have been able to help a young guy who didn't even have $4 for a coffee. There's people like that in our world, but in the midst of the difficult situation, it was an opportunity for me to shine. It was an opportunity for me to be a blessing. And that made my day. And God, you know, as I prepared this message, sometimes you got to go through the storm. You got to go through the rain. Why? To get the right perspective. Yes. There's an Arab proverb that says this: all sunshine and no rain makes for a very dry desert. We need the rain, and we sometimes complain about the rain. We like the sunshine. We like the beauty, but guess what? We're in a drought. We need water. And when it rains, it's great. I wish we didn't let all our water run into the sea, in the ocean. We could keep it, but we need water. We need the rain, but sometimes it keeps us from doing our activities. Come on, when it's rainy, what happens? I don't know about you, but I feel like staying in bed on a rainy day. It deals with our emotions because we're used to what we think that we want and what we desire. And you may be going through life and things look a little bit down. Things look a little bit dark. Last week, if you missed the message, get the message. God is not trying to make us happy. Happiness is an emotion that's dependent upon circumstances. But when you walk with God, there's a joy that's supernatural that comes out of your life regardless of what circumstances. I love what Stephen was doing this morning. We put our praise on. I didn't have a great week at work this week, but I don't care. I'm going to praise Jesus. You know, this week, the young people with HGen, I got them to do an icebreaker, and I got them to close their eyes. I said, I want you to draw an animal that describes how your week was. And most of the youth, they drew a sloth. I didn't even know what a sloth was. I'm like, a sloth? Is that? So I Googled it. So now I know what a sloth is, all right? But that's what they were drawing, because that's what their week felt like. But guess what? We still show up. Yeah. We're not dependent upon our circumstances. Why do we go through dark times? Why do we go through gloomy times? Because in those times, what's happening? God is wanting to bring a greater depth in our Christianity. God's wanting to bring a greater maturity in our lives. You know, when someone's a baby, what happens? They cry. They're hungry, they cry. Their diaper's dirty, they cry. And someone cleans their diaper. But guess what? When we come to Christ, sometimes that happens. We're newly saved Christian, and what happens? We pray, and God answers our prayer before we finish praying. And for those of us that have been saved a while, we get a little irritated with that. God, what about me? I've been waiting 7 years for my answer. But what's the difference? God is revealing himself to us, but after a point in time, we need to learn to stand in faith. We need to walk by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by feelings. We're a people of faith. Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. But do we believe our faith? Is our faith genuine? Is our faith mature? Or are we still babies and we just cry when things don't go our way? We're upset with God. God, I'm so angry. Someone else got the promotion and not me. God, I'm angry. It rained today. Things didn't happen. God, I want patience and I want it now. And what do? It shows the immaturity in our faith. It takes both good times and bad times to mature a believer. So as we go through difficult situations, there's a paradox here. You have pain and you have pleasure. Greatest example of that is a woman giving birth. Thank God I'm a man. Amen. I've seen my wife do that 3 times. The people that are pregnant giving birth, and that's wonderful. But there's a pain and there's a pleasure. There's a pain in childbirth because it's called labor. Come on. You don't just go in and say, okay, it's time, and the baby just pops out. I'm not going to go too much into that. But there's a labor. You got to push. The Lace just gave birth. I think she was in labor for more than 12 hours. Wow. Thank God I'm a man. Amen. But there's a labor. But when the baby's born, there's a joy. There's a pain and there's a pleasure. This life is about victory and defeat. We win some and we lose some. Even as a Christian, you don't win all the time because you got to learn how to lose. Sometimes you lost because you did things wrongly. But we live in a generation where what? Even the losing team, we want to give them a trophy. Oh, we don't want them to feel bad, so give them a trophy. That didn't happen when I was playing sports. When you lost, you shook hands and you wished you had played better and got the trophy. But now we want to even celebrate defeat. Oh, we don't want you to feel bad. We know that you wished you win. So here's your little token trophy. That's nuts. Are you here? Don't get me started. You know, we had sick days. We never had like an emotional health day. You can't. I'm staying home from school because I need emotional health day today. I'm not here to, I know there's mental, but like, come on. Like, we got up and went to school. I mean, if I was sick, I better have a fever. My mom's like, you're getting your butt in school. One time I took the thermometer and put it on the light bulb. Sorry, Mama, my mom's here, you know, and felt convicted, but I got to stay home that day. But if I didn't have a fever, you're going. If you're staying home from school, you better be going to the doctor. I didn't get it. Well, I don't feel like going to school today. Are you here? Well, don't get me started. All right. There's victory and defeat. There's success and there's failure. There's mountaintops and there's dark valleys that we go through, but it matures us. Paul says, in the midst of all these things, we're more than conquerors. I've learned, whether I'm abasing or I'm abounding, I've learned to be content in all things. What does that mean? My faith is not determined by what's happening around me. My faith is not determining by my bank account balance. My faith is not determined by who showed up this week for church and who went away for Memorial Day. Are you here? And that's the life of faith. That's what people are attracted to, because most people, their happiness is determined by the stock market that day, by their portfolio, by how people respond to them, by how long the traffic was. We shouldn't be, as Christians, moved by those things. In Israel, there's deep valleys. And you look, they have a lot of mountaintops and deep valleys. I put a picture up for you. And you see a mountaintop to a mountaintop. And that's really the prophetic potential. Just leave it up. God gives you a prophecy. You're going to be a businessman and you're going to fund the kingdom of God. You're going to have this ministry. You're going to raise up sons and daughters. And what do we see? We see the mountaintop. Yes, I want to get there. But you don't realize to get to the mountaintop, that's 50 miles away. You got to go down the valley, around the turn. And as you go into those valleys, many of those valleys are dark places. They're places where animals are roaming and there's predators that are there. Thank you, guys. There's places that the sun doesn't shine except for a few hours a day. But in order to get to the destination, you've got to journey through those dark places. But in those dark places, you get the stamina to live where God has called you to be. There's a great saying out there, and I forgot who said it, but he said this. It said that the destination is not as important as the journey. What was the problem with the children of Israel? They didn't want a journey. They didn't want to grow. They didn't want to live in faith. They went there, and what did they say? We're like grasshoppers in the sight of the giants. And that's the issue with us. Are we confident? Are we in faith? Do we know that we're more than conquerors? Do we know that it doesn't matter what our situation is like, because God is on the inside of us. Heaven is on the inside of us. That we're saved. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yes, God says he'll bless us in this lifetime. But this lifetime is only 80 to 100 years. But we live in eternity with God. Are you here? If we leave this earth, we go to heaven, and it's a place where there's no sin. There's no darkness. There's no negativity. There's no disease. There's no wars. It's a perfect place. But here on earth, we will have tribulation. In the Bible, we see the book of Joshua. It's called the Valley of Trouble, the Valley of Achor. In Psalms 84, it's the Valley of Weeping or the Valley of Baca. In Psalms, there's the Valley of Deep Darkness that David's talking about. Valleys are part of our Christian life. And many pastors, they don't teach about that. Some evangelists lie. Come to Jesus and you'll never have a problem. Come to Jesus and everything will be all right. That's not true. I know people that came to Jesus and all hell broke loose. Hello? They said, you didn't tell me the gospel. What's the good news? It's not that you won't have a problem. You come to Jesus and you're not alone. You now have a shepherd. As you go through the valleys, as you go through the darkness, come on, he'll restore you. He'll strengthen you. You're going to go to the other side of the storm. You're not alone. That's the gospel. Look at the apostles. Look at the disciples. They weren't weak people. Christianity's not for the weak-hearted. Because the minute you become a Christian, you have a target on your back. Why? Because now you're a threat to the devil. Now, you're going to bring people out of hell and into heaven. Now you have a purpose and a destiny. Are you here? And that shouldn't scare us. Come on, because we're more than conquerors. Come on, we've got the victor on the inside of us. Greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. Come on. Our God is able. Our God is all-powerful. And we put our faith in him. Five facts about the valleys that I want us to talk about today. Next week, we're going to talk about how we overcome them. As you go through life, you got to understand, number one, valleys are inevitable. I said earlier, you're either coming out of a crisis, a trial, going into a trial, or in the middle of one right now. You're either in a valley, you came out of a valley, or you're getting ready to go into a valley. Didn't get any amens on that. But you're not alone. You're able. Tell your neighbor, you're able. God says he will not allow us to go through anything that we're not able to overcome. I can't do this. Yes, you can. It's too difficult. Keep walking. Quit looking around. Quit looking at the shadow of darkness. God is with you. Get restored and keep moving towards your purpose. Valleys happen throughout our lives. Sometimes one right after another. Sometimes we have a break. But every mountaintop encounter usually has a valley experience that comes. John 16, verse 33 says, these things I've spoken to you. Jesus says that in me, you will have peace. Where does peace come from? Not through our circumstances and situation. It comes from Jesus. He says, in me, you will have peace. But he says, in the world. Are you in the world? It says, you will have tribulation. Pinch yourself. If you're alive, you're headed for tribulation. The world is tribulation. There's issues that are going on. But in the midst of these things, we can have peace. He says this, and it doesn't stop there. He says, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Come on, and as he's in you, you're going to overcome. But in the midst of trials, no, they're inevitable. It doesn't mean something's wrong. It used to be some hyper-faith churches, you know, you go through a difficulty or you get sick or you have a financial crisis. Oh, there must be sin in the camp, Gwen. You better repent. What have you done? You repented of everything you've ever done and everything you thought you might have done. But you're still in the valley. Doesn't mean something's wrong. It means that God trusts you. God doesn't send it to teach you, but it's part of the world that you live in. But God trusts you that you're able. Come on, you got to let the child walk. He might fall and bust his knee, but you get up and kiss it and keep walking. The best thing you do, if you had a car accident, get back into the car as soon as possible. Don't get fear. Don't allow things to hold you down. God is with us. But guess what? As we run, we realize that we should listen to our parents and we should have tied our shoes and all of our shoestrings be untied. No wonder we're falling. How many times did we hear, better tie your shoestrings, you're going to fall. And guess what? We fell because our shoestrings were untied. But guess what? We learned something. We learned to do something right. But we're all going to go through valleys. We're all going to experience suffering. We're all going to experience sorrow. We, as believers, people still die. Our loved ones die. But the Bible says we don't grieve like the world, like those without Christ, because we know that our loved ones are in eternity. But we all experience death. We all experience these things. It's a normal part of life. Don't be surprised. Valleys are inevitable. Number two, valleys are unpredictable. I'm a person, I love strategy, I love structure, I love time blocking, it allows me to do more things, but guess what? I don't get to schedule the crisis. I don't get to schedule the phone call. Sometimes in the midst of something, I'm like, really, can you not have a crisis right now, church? Come on, I'm a little busy right now. Hello, we're in the mission field right now. We're in Brazil. Can you just like get it together for a week? But guess what? Crisis happens. Things happen. We don't plan for it. Even in the midst of things, it just happens. You can't plan it. You can't time it. You can't schedule it. It's out of our control. Are you here? Valleys are unexpected. Sometimes they come at the worst time. Sometimes they come at the most inconvenient time. Sometimes we feel we're hard pressed on every side, David says. The last thing we need is more problems. The last thing you need is a call from your wife that the ice maker's not working. We had a lot going on, and one of our bathroom toilets is leaking. I'm not a plumber. So we call the warranty company. We call. It takes 2 days to get them out. They come out, and then how are they going to get approval for the part? Another 2 days. It's all these little things. It's not a crime. But like, really? Really right now? Are you here? Can you relate? Unfortunately, we can't schedule these things. We have no control of these things. They're unpredictable. A good day can become a bad day because of a piece of news, because of someone, because of something that happened. Everything's to be going great, and guess what? You got the phone call. You had a health report that had a little scare to it. There's a freak accident. You're at the stoplight praying in tongues, and somebody rear-ends you. Like, really? I was praying, Jesus? You're supposed to protect me? But what do we do in those moments? Jeremiah says it this way in Jeremiah 4, verse 20. He says, disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. Here's the prophet of God going from disaster to disaster. But what's God doing in that? He's building strength on the inside of us. Paul says, in the midst of all these things, in the midst of famine, in the midst of pestilence, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of all these things, come on, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, because God is on the inside of us and we live out of the strength of God. We're not moved by what we see and we just keep pushing through the storm. Valleys are inevitable. Valleys are impartial. They come because of just the life that we live in. Number three, we got to understand valleys are impartial. No one is immune to valleys. Well, pastor, I bind that in Jesus' name. No valley will come upon me. If you're going to walk through life, you got to go through the valley. It's part of progression. It's part of movement. It's inevitable. It's unpredictable. It's impartial. It happens to Christians too. There are some, you know, super hyper faith Christians, and during COVID, well, no COVID will come upon my dwelling. And COVID hit the church. Hello? We had people in church that got COVID. Thank God we didn't have anyone that passed away. Are you here? That was here. We took precautions. We did, but people got sick. They quarantined. They came back to church, and, you know, we kept moving. Are we here? It happens to us. And sometimes we live a hyper faith and think that it's not going to affect us. No, it's not going to be to our destruction. But it happens. I got the chicken pox. Did you? Are you here? Stuff happens. I've had the flu before. I've had a cold. We live in a fallen world. Are you here? Everybody has problems. Good people and bad people. It's impartial. It doesn't mean you're a bad person because something happened to you. It means you're a normal person. It means you're alive. Are you here? It doesn't mean you're an evil human being. It means you're a normal human being. It doesn't mean that you're bad. It's just bad things happen. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where it's impartial. It doesn't care whether you're good or bad. It doesn't care whether you're saved or not. Are you here? Matthew 5, verse 45, it says this. Jesus said this. He said, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Guess what? When it rains, we all get wet. It's the environment that we go through. But come on, you can have an umbrella. You can have some protection over your life. Come on, where it doesn't mess you up. But it happens. Things go on. When the sprinklers come on, if you're in the grass, you get wet. Because you're in that environment. But what do we do? Many times we ask ourselves as we go through the valley of life, we say, why me? Why me? We don't understand. And we have heartache. We get discouraged. We get stressed out. We wonder why think that something's wrong. No, we just have to understand we live in a fallen world. We're not in heaven. Are you here? But that doesn't mean we have to be defeated. That doesn't mean God doesn't protect us. The disciples, Jesus said, go to the other side. But as they got in the boat, guess what? There was a storm. And they had to go through the storm. But guess what? It wasn't for their destruction. Paul was in the middle of the storm, but what it was, it wasn't so that he would be destroyed and die. He got shipwrecked, but it was to show the power of God in his life. Are you here? Amen. Valleys, as we go through them, they are impartial. Number four, are you learning something? Yes. I love this one. Valleys are temporary. Yes. We should get excited about that. Valleys are temporary. This too will pass. Come on. As you go through the wilderness, as you go through the valley, come on, you're headed for the mountaintop. That's the destiny of God. It's temporary. Don't stay in the valley forever. But why do we stay in the valley? We camp, we put our tent up, we invite our friends, and we have a pity party. We get into victimization. Well, why like that? Why was I born to parents like that? Why was my parents divorced? How come I wasn't more educated? How come my friend got a new car at 16 and I had to buy a piece of junk? Why me? Why me? Why? Are you here? I'm preaching to myself. Are you here? Because we look and compare and we look at the valley, we look at the situations rather than keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, rather keeping our eyes on the prize that God has before us and keep walking. If you're poor today, keep walking and you won't be poor forever. If you're in debt today, sometimes you need to have plastic surgery. Come on, not on your face, but on that credit card. And learn how to get out of debt. But God is a debt-canceling God. Amen. Well, my family grew in debt. We're always overwhelmed. None of us have ever gotten ahead. Come on, you're out of that bloodline. You're in a new bloodline. Come on, you got to walk through the valley into the purpose of God. But keep walking. Keep giving. Don't get stuck there. Don't limit yourself. Well, I don't have enough this. I don't have enough this. It's not about what you have. Your righteousness is not good enough. You cannot be educated enough. You cannot be beautiful or handsome enough, or it's not about us. It's not by our ability. It's God's ability in us. It's his favor. We're sons and daughters of God. Amen. It's his purpose in our lives. Valleys are temporary. The storm will stop. The rain will end. It's not our permanent home address. We're passing through the valley into the purpose of God. David said in Psalms 23, verse 4, what's the key? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley. Don't stop in the valley. The children of Israel, they stopped in the wilderness because it was comfortable. They weren't in the promised land, but God still took care of them. Their shoes didn't wear out. They still had food. It fell from heaven every day, but it was manna. Manna means what is it? I don't know about you, but I like some variety. I don't want to eat what is it every day. In the promised land, there's chicken and cows. Come on. I'm about you. I'm a meat eater. For all the vegetarians out there, I love you, but the Last Supper of the Lamb, we're having meat. Come on. Come on. I'm just playing, but I believe it's true. Amen. Jesus said, whatever we call blessed is blessed. Amen. But what... Don't get stuck in that. You're in a place of just surviving. God's called you to thrive. But in order for you to thrive, you got to grow. A baby survives, but he poops in his pants. A baby survives, but mama has to feed him. Come on, we need to come to the place where, come on, I'm a grown man and I know how to cook a good steak on the grill. Come on. I know how to prepare. I know what to do. I know how to see because I'm mature. I'm not just dependent. And God wants us to grow so that we can help others. But what does it require us? It requires us falling down a little bit, learning to walk, learning to run, learning to get our coordination. What's true in the natural is true in the spirit. Walk through the valleys. I put this up for you. Every bad circumstance and situation has a season to it, but it has an expiry date. Come on, it has an expiry date. I've walked some three things in my life and I passed the test and I didn't have to go through that trial anymore. Sometimes it took a few minor trials, but I passed the test in that. We walk, keep walking. We pass the test in faithfulness and our giving and we don't live in lack anymore. We pass in our health sometimes and believing God, most of the healing evangelists and had great healing anointings and healing ministries, they were sick. Dr. Lester Sumrall was on his deathbed. The Lord came to him and showed him a Bible and showed him a tombstone. He said, if you preach for me and you give your life to me, I'll heal you. If you don't, this sickness will lead in destruction. And God healed him. There's been many people had encounters like that and they got up and God began to reveal to them the principles of faith and healing. And that God's will is to heal. But they suffered from sickness themselves. But they overcame, and now their faith built, and they can now believe God for healing for others. Sometimes the things you're walking through is not just for you. You need to learn and overcome so you can help some other people to overcome. You can show them the path. Don't go down that ditch in the dark valley. Keep walking. Do this. Don't do that, and then you'll come out on the other side. But God is there with us. Amen? Every bad circumstance and situation, it has an expiry date to it. If you're going through a trial right now, keep walking. Keep moving forward. Don't give up. Well, I feel like quitting. That's the worst thing you can do. And I know we have much mental illness and people that struggle, but committing suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. I've known people that have gone that route, and it's terrible, but that's not something we should do and leave our family in the bad situations and it's try to escape. Keep walking. You're going to get through it. There's brighter days. There's better days that are ahead. We're going to get through. Some people thought, oh, COVID's over. We'll never come back to church. But come on, we're almost packed this morning. People are coming in. We start another service. We keep growing. It's not the end of the world. People have been preaching about the end of the world, you know, for all we even write songs. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's not the end of the world. We come out brighter. We think of greater things. We keep progressing. We keep moving. They keep saying, you're going to run out of coal, and we came out with oil. We're going to run out of oil. We come out with electricity. We come out. We're going to keep going. God has put that ability in us. We're more than conquerors. I put this up for you. Perseverance outlasts tribulation and persecution. Perseverance outlasts tribulation. Keep persevering, and your tribulation will end. Persecution comes against you. Keep pressing against it. And guess what? You'll outlive your critics. There's people that, you know, persecuted, and guess what? Just keep preaching, and guess what? They're going to die one day, and you'll just still be around. Pastor, how can you say that? That's what's happened sometimes. Those that criticize the new, they end up graduating, and the new keeps on going. People told us, oh, you know, if you build a church and you pray in tongues and you believe in the power of God and the supernatural, you won't last 3 years in Orange County. Well, guess what? We just celebrated our 9th anniversary. Come on. Guess what? Our 10th anniversary is coming. We're going to do it even bigger. Amen. Guess what? We're going to be around in year 20, in year 30, if the Lord tarries. Why? Because we keep pressing on. Keep persevering, and your critics will remain silent. You know, people look at you, and they, sometimes you're in high school, the least likely to succeed. But guess what? When you're successful, oh, I knew it all along. We always knew God was with you. We always knew there was something about you. You didn't know nothing. You couldn't see what God sees. But what happened when other people quit that were more skilled, more gifted, had greater potential? You just kept going and didn't give up and kept showing up and kept plowing. And what happened? It brought success to you. Come on, give the Lord a shout. I was reading an article about, they did a survey on the millionaires that we have in our country and how they became successful. Most of them don't make six-figure incomes. Most of them didn't have an inheritance, but what did they do? They saved, they were wise, they invested, they managed things well, and they didn't come from the silver spoon, and they became successful. Most millionaires drive a car that's at least 4 years old, and it's paid for. And you look at that, that's not what we think in our flashy society. But what did they do? They didn't have it all provided. They kept persevering. They were wise, and they made good decisions, and they became successful. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, you learning something? It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. Someone say a little while. If need be, and we all need it, you have been grieved by various trials. What's the purpose? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, it be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. Amen. What's it say? Your faith that's more precious than gold. As you're going through the fire, what happens? Your faith is getting refined. Come on, you believe in healing because you've been healed. You believe in provision because Jesus provided for you. You believe in God organizing your relationships because he's been your matchmaker. But you got to go through some trials sometimes to get the revelation of Jesus Christ. How is Jesus being revealed in your life? Not just from intellectual understanding of a principle, but because you've experienced it. Christianity is not a religion about words. It's about an experience, an encounter with the reality of God. You can't tell me that God doesn't heal because when I was young, I experienced healing. When I was in Brazil, I saw the power of God healing people and creative miracles and things. Well, I don't believe healing's for today. Well, you're wrong. Get out a little bit more. Come on. And believe God, and I can be in a dead atmosphere where I don't have a huge choir and people, and there's no atmosphere, but through faith, God is a healer. And when I pray, God will heal people. If I pray the first time it doesn't happen, I'm going to pray a second time. If it doesn't happen the second time, I'm going to pray a third time until it happens. And I believe that. You can't tell me that's not true. You can't tell me God's not my provider because three times in my life, I've sold everything I had except for two suitcases, but he always gives me better stuff. He always provides. He always overcomes. And even Susan's business and what we've been doing, it's supernatural. How can we run a business and hire 10 people on the other side of the world? How does that work? I don't know, but we just trust Jesus, and he's our provider. Come on. And he's our senior partner, and everything we have belongs to him. And we pray and we obey because there's no other way. Yeah. Our faith being much more precious than gold, It perishes, but it's tested by fire. But in the fire, are we going to keep praising God? Don't just praise God on the mountaintops. Praise God. Praise him in the valley. Praise him in the furnace. Praise him in the lion's den. Praise him even if you're in prison. James John, they praise God, and the place that they were in was shaken by the power of God. It doesn't matter. Paul says, I can abase, I can abound, but in every situation, I'm content. Do we experience pain? Do we experience sorrow? Do we experience headache? Of course we do. But cast it on him. Take a moment, but don't take a year. Take a moment, but don't take 10 years. Don't be looking back at the valley. Look forward to the mountaintop that God has called you to. Are you here? Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. The Bible says this, we have small troubles for a while now, but they're helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles. What does Paul say? We've got small troubles. There's afflictions that's there. There are things that are there, but they're helping us to gain an eternal glory. They're helping us to be more dependent on God. Paul said, I decrease that he might increase. He says, not I that live, but Christ is living in me. How does that happen when we die? When we die daily. And thank God there's things that I'm still working on, but there's things in my life that it doesn't affect me the way that it used to affect me. Things that happen that I immediately realize there's a strength that's on the inside of me because I walked through this before. And I can help other people in ministry and say, you're gonna be fine. How do you know that? Because I've been through it. You know, sometimes we say, you know, I understand, but you don't understand. You didn't walk through that. But there's times you could say, I understand, because you walked through it. You fought that lion. You fought that bear. You met that giant before. And you can help other people. When you respond well to your problems in the right way, what happened? There's a long-term eternal benefit that it produces something in your life. I put this up. Your temporary valley will help you gain an eternal glory that's much greater than the troubles. You want to give millions to the kingdom of God and be someone who's a steward that begins to fund the end time harvest? You're gonna struggle with some financial giants because the devil sees your potential. You wanna raise up generations that will serve God. You're gonna struggle in relationship because that's where relationship comes in, betrayal, and you'll experience that because we gotta learn to have the heart of a father, of a mother. Are you here? But those things are temporary. They're producing eternal glory in us, which leads me to the final point. What did we learn? Let's put it up. Number one, our valleys, our trials are inevitable. They're unpredictable. They're impartial. They affect everyone. They're temporary. But what's the main focus? There's a purpose to them. There's a purpose to them. God has a reason for allowing us to go through valleys. It's to mature us. It's to grow us. It's to build capacity on us. So as we're going through those things, no, God's with us. We're gonna come out on the other side. This is the story's not over. Yeah. It's not over. Anyone who's done something great for God always struggled in an area of their life. Always went through crisis, always went through a trial, but they came out on the other side and it produced something on the inside of them. 1 Peter 1 verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, it will be found to praise, honor, and glorify God. How does God build up our faith? In the valleys of life. On the mountaintop, you don't need faith. But how does a mountain climber build strength? It's climbing the mountain. That's the difficult part. When you come face to face with a dark valley, we get on our knees and we seek God. Don't get angry with God. Don't camp out with all the disgruntled and be a victim. God hasn't called you to be a victim. He's called you to be a victor. Amen? What's God's ultimate goal? I put this up in closing. It's not to just make life comfortable for you. In our Western Christianity, we preach that, and that's not the Bible. He wants to build character in us. He wants to build capacity in us. Amen? That as we're set apart for God, he's interested in our holiness more than just our temporary happiness. Because holiness lasts. Holiness is something on the inside. As we're set apart for God, his glory is upon us. We can say, it's not me, it's not I that live. It's Christ that lives on the inside. It's that God gets the glory. As we're favored by God, we give him the glory. As we're blessed, it's to be a blessing. So in the midst of what you're struggling, a lot of our HGen, you're having exams, it's difficult. But guess what? It's gonna be over, summer's coming. I said, next week, let's go to have a bonfire and celebrate. But you got to study this week. You got to take your exams. You got to write your essays. You got to do that. But guess what? It's going to be over. I can't do this. Yes, you can. It's 5 more days. God, this job is difficult. Just keep doing it. God will promote you. Thank God Joseph didn't give up when he was in the prison. He didn't give up when he was in Potiphar's house. He kept serving. He kept being faithful. And in one day, promotion came. In one day, Daniel was promoted. Your promotion will come. Come and say aloud with me. Say, valleys are inevitable. Valleys are unpredictable. Valleys are impartial. Valleys are temporary. But valleys are purposeful. Come on, God doesn't cause accidents. He doesn't cause tragedies. He doesn't. It's part of being in this broken down world. But in the midst of this, God is faithful. God is there to get us through. As we go through the trials, there's a purpose that our faith would be refined and would be a sign, would be a wonder to the unchurched, to the world. Do you believe that? Come on, let's stand on our feet. Come on, just lift your hands. Maybe you're in the midst of a trial right now. Come on, there's encouragement, there's strength. Maybe you just came out of a trial. Come on, he's restoring your soul. Maybe you're getting ready to go and we say, oh no, I don't want another trial. You're able because greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. Come on, let's just lift our voice. Come on, let's get out of victimization. Let's get out of grumbling. Let's get out of complaining. Come on, let's get out of feeling sorry for ourselves and look to God, the God and what helped us come from, the God who is our strength, the God who helps us to overcome, the God who restores our soul. I just pray, God, for your love be released in the heart of every person, that God, you're for us, that God, you're not against us, that God, you are able, that God, will move from the place of grumbling, we'll move from the place of complaint, we'll move from the place of being overwhelmed, God. Today, God, we allow you to be our shepherd. We say, God, we trust you. We put our hope in you. We trust you for our finances. We trust you for our ministry. We trust you in our relationships. We trust you, God, to get us through every situation. We put our trust in you, God. We put our hope in you, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I break the power of words that have been spoken. Words of negativity, God. That have been spoken. That, God, will open your people to demonic activity. God, we break its power right now. We clear the airways in the name of Jesus. We declare hope coming alive again in the name of Jesus. Hope coming alive. We put our trust in you in every situation. It's not a hopeless situation. It's a situation to see the power of God. God, we break out of condemnation that, God, we've done something wrong. That, God, it's our fault. That God, we don't know what it is, but we feel, God, that you're judging us. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. God, it's not because of what we've done. It's because of the world we live in. It's so that we can see the power of God in our life. God, we put our hope in you. God, we declare hope coming alive, faith coming alive, God, that we're able, that we're going through. We're going through. Come on, declare right now, I'm going through. I'm going through. I'm going through. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm going through the valley. I'm going through into my purpose. I'm going through into my next destiny. And God, you're there with me to help me. You are my strength. You are your rod and your staff. God, it comforts me. We put our trust in you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus.